Good morning and welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. Over in the Cornwall area of Orange County, there is a wonderful little nature museum. It's not little, it's a good size, called Hudson Highlands Nature Museum. And today we have a very special guest. We're going to be speaking with Carl Heitmuller.
You got it right.
Oh, good. Who's the senior environmental educator, right, for the museum?
Correct.
And you've been here how many years, Carl?
I've been here for 20.
Wow.
And that's about as long as we've been doing the tours.
Wow, that's incredible. And you're there year-round, so you get to see all facets of the museum. Maybe let's start, before we'll talk about the maple syrup, but first, can you give us a little overview about the museum and where it is and what kind of things
all right.
it does?
The Hudson Highlands Nature Museum is in Cornwall, New York. We actually have two locations. One is the original site, and I think it started in 1959, and it's called the Wildlife Education Center, and that's in Cornwall on Hudson. It's if you're looking for it, it's 25 Boulevard. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the road, Cornwall on Hudson, and that's where all of the nature center is. That's where we have all our animals on exhibit. Animals are injured or imprinted, and we use them for educational purposes, and we teach to, sometimes up to about 15,000 students a year.
Wow.
We also do sites where I go to your school. We could take the animals off-site if you can't afford the busing.
Uh-huh.
And that one's the original location. And again, just a little over 20 years ago, we acquired the site from Scenic Hudson, and we've been here ever since at the Outdoor Discovery Center. Some people might know it as Kenridge Farm.
Yes.
Right off of Route 9W at the base of Storm King Mountain. And over here, we have a pre-K school, which is great because it's all science-based, and they're always outside. And we have a 177-acre farm site here. And this is where our administrative offices are, and this is where we do our summer camp and school programs for pond ecology and paleontology and geology. And now it is time for maple sugar season.
Wow. Now, that's a certain time of the year every year, right?
Yeah, well, usually it's at the end of February through March. The season's a little bit askew because of the weather we've been having. But the sap did start running early, but then it got cold again. Uh-huh. And you need warm days and cold nights to get the sap to go. And it's running pretty good right now. Today, as long as it's above 40, it should start to drip again today.
Okay, so you've got taps that are in the maple trees, or you put them in? They're there all the time? Or?
Oh, no. Yeah, what happens is you tap the trees, and usually after about 5 or 6 weeks, the tree will heal itself. So you have to get it's called a spile. You have to take it out of the tree.
Uh-huh.
You can't leave it in all year long. And then when you tap next year, we tap in a new spot on the tree. And as long as you do it correctly, you don't damage the tree, and you can tap for 100 years if you want, if you've got a good, healthy tree.
So these trees, you have a lot of trees, or do you have,
Yeah, we're fortunate. There's it used to be an old farm road that ran up between two stone walls, and we call it our sugar bush because they're all lined with sugar maple trees.
Okay.
So we take an opportunity, we put a sugar shack out there. It's for educational purposes because we don't really produce syrup because it's a lot of work. When you come on the tour, you find out. But we do sell it. We buy some from local New York farmers, and we support the local farmers. So I always tell people, don't buy from Vermont and definitely don't buy from Canada.
Yeah.
Support the New York farmers. So that's what we do.
We've got a lot of maple trees in New York State, so it's all, and it's on the other side of the border from Vermont. So it's easy to do it. So then you have school groups, and they come in, and you take them through.
Yeah, we have some school groups come in. It's not their favorite time of the year. They usually were heavy with in the spring.
Uh-huh.
That's when they had a lot of field trip season. But we do get some, and on the weekends, we're open to the public for our maple sugar tours. And we do get a decent amount. This last weekend was our kickoff for the season. And, we had a really good turnoff because it was beautiful, beautiful weather. But what we do is you come, and the tours go from 12 to 3 o'clock. Is the last tour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me, 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock. And then what they do is they're about an hour to hour and 15 minutes long. Most of our tours, we do the sugar bush tours, which is, it's a 10-minute walk out to the sugar bush where the trees are. It's a nice walk. And then we do everything you need to know about making maple syrup. You're starting from how to identify the tree by using, bark, leaves, and the branches. The next station, we have several stations set up, and we keep moving through, and you learn how a tree makes the sap, which is photosynthesis, and then how the first people, the Native Americans who did it, and then they showed it to the Europeans when they came, and they had a different style, so they would do less damage to the trees, and then all the way up through how it's done today, instead of metal buckets, it's now used plastic tubing, which, you know, if you go to a maple farm, they have, you know, 1,600 trees tapped. It looks like gigantic spider webs. It's a lot of work, but then you get all the sap to run to one location, which is usually your sugar shack, and that's where we show people how to cook down the sap into syrup and how the Native Americans did it. And then we head back to the farmhouse, and when we get to the farmhouse, we do a maple syrup taste challenge, which is, it's real maple syrup versus corn syrup.
Oh, good.
Which most people buy because it's only a couple bucks.
Yeah.
And then we do a taste test. So I always do is make them taste it, see which one they like better, and then I tell them which one is real and which one's fake.
So what do you find when they pick stuff? Are they picking the real maple syrup?
Surprisingly enough, no. A lot of people do pick corn syrup because it's common. But the people who do buy real pure maple syrup from the trees, you can't fool them. They know the difference immediately.
The other ones probably pick the sweeter thing, right? The corn syrup is
It's funny because when I was a kid, we had, I think, you know, I don't want to say the name brand, but we had corn syrup in my house because there were six of us. But my dad had his own little jug of syrup, which I didn't know why, but turns out it was the pure maple syrup.
The real thing.
Yeah, I didn't want to, my mom didn't want to waste the money and have me pour, you know, $3 worth of syrup on a plate.
So how much maple stuff, the sap that comes out of the tree, does it take to make any, you know, to make like a, I don't know, you're measuring quarts?
On average, if you a decent season, it's about 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. You have to be devoted to it. You got to spend your all your days doing it. But it is a lot of work to make maple syrup. That's why, you know, it's like $23, $24 for a quart of maple syrup.
How much syrup can you get from a tree? I mean, if you're thinking in ounces, what kind of...
How much can you get from a tree, a single tree?
I mean, can't get a gallon from a tree. You got to be
trees. Might almost get... No, you probably wouldn't get a gallon. At least a quart, depending on the season.
Okay.
If you get a good drip going on, a nice run, you might get, say, 2 or 3 gallons a day from one tree, depending on the size. You don't want to over-tap a tree and hurt it. You want to be able to do this for a long time.
I didn't think you can get that much sap out of it. So by hooking a tube in, they have to run downhill or whatever to wherever the
You got it. Gravity will bring it right down.
Wow.
So usually people have holding tanks, and then you could fill it up a truck or something if you need to, like a water truck, and then drive it to your shack if it's not nearby. But they've updated the systems nowadays. Evaporators and the techniques are very efficient, but it's still a lot of work, and you got to be quite devoted to this to make maple syrup.
Yeah, I could see why you're just doing education of it and not necessarily doing the boiling and all that other stuff. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, we used to try it in the past, but it is a lot of work. As a small non-for-profit, you know, we found it was very difficult for us to do, but we do, you know, sell it, which is great. So we definitely support the local farmers, and it's great because it gives people the opportunity to buy New York syrup. It's not always the easiest thing to find in your grocery stores because you got to deal with Canada, who produces a lot more than New York. But I think we're number 2 or 3 now in the country. I think we passed Massachusetts a while ago.
We're second, I think, after Vermont.
Yeah.
And, of course, in Canada, most of the syrup is coming out of Quebec, that area.
Yeah.
I forgot how much. It was like over 90% of it is coming up from that. And I don't know if it had to do with because it's colder and they have the differential in the temperature. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's a known fact that the New York maple syrup is actually a little bit sweeter and has a better taste than Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, much better.
Well, has to do with soil and things too, I would think. Right? I know the wine country in the Finger Lakes has they beat a lot of Canadian or a lot of California wineries, and they said the California guys don't have the same pH and minerals as they do in the Finger Lakes. So that's what's given it the flavor that's winning the contest. So
it's an interesting process. process. People are surprised that sap comes out of the tree. You'd be surprised how many adults think the syrup comes straight out of the tree. Oh, I'm not kidding. It's kind of hilarious when they see their jaw drop, because it's only 2% sugar and 98% water. You got to do a lot of work to get it down to, I think, like 60% sugar. So it's you got to get rid of a lot of water.
What color is it when it's coming out of the tree?
It's clear.
You wouldn't even know that
it has got any sugar in it until you taste it.
Uh-huh.
And we do let people taste the sap right out of the tree. We filter it through a micron filter, and then we let them all try it. Some kids like it. Some people have no idea there's even sugar in it because they're so used to these high fructose corn syrup drinks that they have nowadays.
So 2% of that fluid is sugar, and then you boil it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it turns brown in the process of...
Early in the season, you usually have a tendency to get more of a clearer syrup, a higher sugar content.
Uh-huh.
The old days, they used to call it grade A fancy.
Uh-huh.
And then later on in the season, when you have a little less sugar and a lot more mineral content and you have to cook it longer, you get a darker syrup, a grade B. But I like the minerals, the flavor, because you get more of a maple flavor instead of it being super sweet.
So that's what they mean when they have A and B on the thing. I always wondered what that was.
Yeah.
Are there any other grades?
Delicious, but I like that the B is a little bit cheaper now.
Yeah. You've been doing this 20 years. You must know the whole process inside and out, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's fun to teach people about it, you know, and, you know, we get a lot of families. We have also on our tours, we do 11 through 3 o'clock, but at the 12 o'clock and the 3 o'clock tour, what we've done is we have what we call our Maple Lane, because our driveway on our site is also aligned with maples.
Yeah.
So what we've done is made an easier one for people to travel. So in case you don't want to walk through the snow and the mud to get out to the sugar bush, we do a Maple Lane tour for the ones that have little legs and little mobility problems or strollers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it works out really well. So people know that they can come for those time slots and not have to go for the long walk.
Those are big trees, aren't they, at the entrance there? They're pretty big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of our trees, are probably about 120 years old. We had one that was a little over 200 years old, and it finally demised.
Wow.
Last year we had to take her down. It was kind of sad.
Yeah. So you actually put this when you tap the thing into the tree, you show people doing that, or do you have it already in place? And
yeah, we already tap the trees. We have them already tapped, so you get to see the different styles from buckets and wooden spiles. Believe it or not, that's originally how the Europeans did it.
Uh-huh.
They drilling a small hole. Native Americans would slash it and cut it with an axe.
Okay.
And it works really well, but it does destroy the tree. But Native Americans, after about 8 or 10 years of living in one area, they would use up their resources and they would just move.
Yeah.
But the farmers drilled small holes and they use a wooden spile, usually made out of sumac or elderberry, because the center is really soft and you can make a straw out of it.
Oh, okay.
And so when we tap them, we tap the trees ahead of time, but we could show the process, even show you the old style, which is called a bit and a brace, a hand drill, on how farmers would do it. But if we tapped every tree, every tour, we'd put too many holes in the trees and we'd do damage.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting how they've developed the different things and how they work. I mean, let's face it, the Indians had the axes, so that's what they used and that's how they did it. So that's really neat. So now, do you have other programs that go on at this time of the year, or is this is the museum basically closed for the season kind of thing and you're doing this?
Oh, no. This is our weekend. Almost seems like every Saturday and Sunday, we usually have something going on at the museum. I mean, if you go to our website, hhnm.org, there we have all our weekend programming. But this is the time of the year that the staff is out doing maple syrup. But over at the other site, the Wildlife Education Center, we're open there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 4. And on Saturday and Sunday at 1 or 2:30, with either time slot, whenever you're there, whoever's in the building, we'd say, hey, why don't you take a seat, and we take out an animal, and we call it the Meet the Animal presentation. So if you're there at, say, 12:30, you look around and say, come on in at 1. We say, all right, sit down, and we take out, you know, an owl or a snake or whatever the educator decides to use for that day.
Wow.
So we always got something going on.
What kind of animals do you have there? Maybe we should go through your collection.
at the museum, I mean, we've got one owl that's been there for Longer than me. Been there for 27 years.
Wow.
Yeah, considered in captivity, they live a while. But out in the wild, that owl probably make 10 years of age.
Yeah.
So the life is a little bit easier. But a lot of them are injured or imprinted. So, like, the owls we have all been hit by vehicles. So they cannot take care of themselves. So if they weren't here, they wouldn't be still around. So we use them. In fact, some of the owls we use for educational purposes, for teaching. But we have a crow.
Uh-huh.
His name is Edgar Allan Crow, and he's our third crow, and he's the third crow that has actually said the word hello.
Does he really?
Unfortunately, when birds fall out of the nest, people pick them up. They should just put them back if they can, or let mom take care of them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, people try to keep this animal. So they did, and they said hello, 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 but he was getting kind of sick because they didn't know the proper diet. They're not trained. And by the time we got him, it was, I think, in captivity for over a year. So he does say hello, which school kids love, because when you walk up to a crow and you say hello, and then he goes hello, and he says it back, it's really a lot of fun. But we have turtles of all sorts. We got snapping turtles, we got painted turtles and terrapin turtles. We have snakes of many varieties. We have a few mammals, a lot of amphibians, and you know, so we have a good collection. It's been, like I say, that's been there, wow, it's almost 60 years now.
Wow. So, is it near the water? Was there, there a stream
it's,
there?
You know, it's kind of off in the middle of the woods. It seems it's called the Boulevard.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like you're on the Boulevard, but you're off in the middle of the woods. And it's been there for a while. It originally started in the town hall by two science teachers named Mr. and Mrs. Shapiro.
Wow.
They collected animals as a science project with summer students, and they made an exhibit in the town hall. And it was it took up the whole thing, and it was so popular when it came time, nobody wanted to take it down. So they built the museum itself.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and it was originally called the Museum of the Hudson Highlands.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people were confused years later. They're like, what kind of museum are you? So the board and the museum changed the name about 12, 14 years ago, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And now we're called the Hudson Highlands Nature Museum. So it's kind of distinct of what we are.
Wow, that's really extraordinary.
I was there as a kid myself.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the animals there.
I've heard those, the summer programs are incredible. And, I mean, just everything you guys do is really, really top-notch.
People. Yeah, we have a summer camp that ranges from, I think, 4 years old all the way up to 16.
Wow.
So, and we're a small nonprofit place, so we don't have, you know, big, huge numbers. We keep it nice and small ratio. We like it that way. We're science-based, so we're always learning. It's not, let's play kickball.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, do those things. We're all about, each week is being a different topic. It might be about reptiles 1 week. It might be, you know, about geology another week. And then I'm being shown the different titles. So we have a whole bunch of different titles. So it's science-based, and I like to keep them busy. You know, you have a fun game, and then you teach them some, and then you bring them back up and bring them back down. And we also do field trips with the older groups each week while we go off-site.
Uh-huh.
And it's related to our topic for the week.
So if you're doing geology that week, then the field trip would be?
Yeah, if we're doing geology, then we take a trip to, like, a mine.
Okay.
And that's a lot of fun, and the kids get to learn everything all week long, and at the end of the week they go and hopefully show off their knowledge about the rocks that we've been learning about the whole entire week.
Wow. Now, do they, a parent would sign up for, when would they sign them up if they wanted to have them in the program?
I think we're up online right now. I think we just got all our information up there, and so you can easily go on to hhnm.org and click on our summer camp, and then you can learn all the information.
hhnm.org.
Yep.
Okay.
You got it.
So you want to get on there fast before it fills up, right? Now's the time to do it.
Well, some do fill up. Yeah.
Excellent. Now so the animals are down in one site, and is that near Angola Road? There's something with.
Angola Road is where our outdoor discovery center is. That's where I'm speaking to you from now. That's the old Kenridge Farm site where we're doing the maple sugaring tours.
That's near 9W.
Yeah. So this one's technically, we're in Cornwall, and the other one is in Cornwall on Hudson, the lower village.
Way down.
Yeah. But again, on our website, you should be able to get the directions to both locations.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, I'm trying to think what other things we can cover. A couple of minutes, if you want to think of.
Okay, well, one of the things that we've started up in the last year or so is for our pre-K school, our teacher, Sandy Dixon, she's the director of that program. She's always had this thing about nature play. And what's something these kids don't do anymore, they sit on front of a screen instead of being outside, most likely like you and I did.
Yeah.
And so they have these little things that we have. It's called, we built a area, it's called Grasshopper Grove.
Oh.
And Grasshopper Grove is not a playground. There's no swings and slides and monkey bars. Instead of you want to climb on something, we have a 40-foot tree laying on its side.
Wow.
Yeah, we have water apparatuses. We have stone walls that kids can, you know, test their abilities. And, you know, because kids don't know how to walk on uneven ground anymore.
Yeah.
Because we're always saying, get down from there.
Yeah.
Where when you and I were a kid, we were probably halfway up a tree most of the time.
That's right.
So it's all outdoor, and it's all natural items that they play with and they build with. And it's really great. It's well received, especially for the little ones. We have a Grasshopper Grove Club for kids that are small, and it's a great place for a kid to go. And it's all enclosed. We did that mostly for the deer, but it works well for parents because the kids can't, you know, escape out into the fields and get lost.
Now, is that the parents come with the kids, like they take them to a playground, or is it something you're registering?
Parents go over and play in Grasshopper Grove too.
Uh-huh. Wow, so that's something you can bring the kids anytime, or do you?
We're officially going to open it up in April, but April 16th is Grasshopper Grove opening, and April 30th we're having our big Earth Day celebration, and that's a big event.
You want to talk a little bit about the Earth Day? We've got about 4 minutes. You can.
4 minutes? Yeah. I don't know if I can get it in 4 minutes. But we also do. We start the day with a hike-a-thon, which is a fundraiser for the museum, which is really does help us out. So we get people to come out and they get sponsored, and they go out and they go on a hike. Sometimes I'll lead on a hike. The Young Naturalists, which is our pre-K program, they usually have their own group because they're a massive group, and they go out. And what we're going to do is opening our brand new trail this year, which connects our property up to Black Rock Forests, which is right adjacent to us.
Wow, that's going to be nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of work going into it, and it came out really good. In fact, there's really, believe it or not, there's views of the Hudson River you can see from there. And but then at Earth Day, is we have a lot going on where people come, and our pre-K school, they do a little play, usually like the Lorax. But we also have all kinds of things for the kids to do. We have a petting zoo, hay rides that we do. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a big fun day out. If you haven't done it, it's definitely worth the trip. And it's, I forget, it was like $5 a car load to come on in. It's from 11 to 3.
11 to 3. And the 16th is what day of the week?
The 16th is, well, that's the opening of Grasshopper Grove. It's a Saturday.
That's a Saturday. And the 30th is what day of the week for that?
The 30th would also, I believe, is a Saturday for Earth Day.
Okay, so a lot of your programs are on Saturday. That's a good time to go.
Yeah, Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay.
I'm the Sunday guy because I work that day.
Okay, that's great. Well, I tell you, that's having a heads up. Now, there'll be more information about Earth Day on your website, probably.
Oh, yeah. I think the Earth Day stuff is going to be up on there real soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We have limited stuff that we can put on because we do offer so much stuff. So we always suggest people to get on our email list. You can do it on our website. And what happens is we'll email blitz you basically in the middle of the week, like on a Wednesday or Thursday, saying, hey, don't forget that this is going on. There's an owl prowl or you know, whatever, so that people know in the middle of the week what's going on the weekend.
Oh, that's fantastic. So then they'll be up to date and they won't miss anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would think
if you become a member, which is only $70 for the whole family for an entire year, you get discounted prices on everything. And I mean, and you get free access to that Grasshopper Grove I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
Summer birthday parties we do at our site. So if you don't want to go to the movie theater or the bowling alley anymore, we do animal presentation birthday parties.
Oh.
We can go to your school and do a birthday party, which is really fun.
Wow. Do you go to the school with the animals and everything? Or
Yeah. We do outreach programs quite a bit, especially especially with, you know, when the diesel fuel is so expensive.
Sure.
You know, it's cheaper for us to bring the animals to the school, go from room to room, versus, you know, them to get a bus.
Oh, that's nice. And then they have, like, a cake or something and with the...
Well, the birthday party, usually if mom or dad shows up with cupcakes or something.
All right.
And what happens is the kid gets a shirt, and all the children in the classroom get a cup that has our logo, and it changes colors when you hold it.
Oh.
And also you can get a free pass for the family to come visit us another time.
Okay.
And if the child's brave enough and not shy, they can get to help us out and help us, you know, present the program.
Oh, fantastic. This is it. We're running out of time here. I'm going to, again, advise everybody to go check out the website, and you'll be able to, you know, get all the current information, get on the email list.
Mm.
And, Carl, I thank you so much for coming on.
It sounds like you're
doing a wonderful job, and what a great little museum. I'm so happy we have
all
in
right,
this
well,
area.
Come on down with the grandchildren. I'll show you how to make maple syrup.
Okay, that sounds like a plan. Okay. Well, this is Marietta Allen wishing you all happy trip.